Building Recovery, Stage 2, Foundation. Session 1, what building materials will you use? What building materials will you use? We all know when we build a house that we use materials. We need to buy things, we need to have materials to use to build with. The job of this is known as quantity surveyor. It's the guy who works out how many bricks you'll need, all the electricals and so on and so forth. And we can't build a house without it. So as we know, we're only asking the critical questions here on this course. And one of them is, what building materials will you use? Now, of course, we're talking about a metaphor as a house. So what we're building is recovery. So the question of materials becomes really important. And I want to divide this into two areas, quality and cost. Quality and cost. So the qualities are things that we ask ourselves, what are the materials in terms of qualities? And I would talk about four things. I would say authenticity, honesty, humility, and assertiveness. Authenticity, honesty, humility, and assertiveness. I'm going to say something about all four of those, but I also want to talk about cost. And the cost really is, it becomes a very deep subject, actually, because we're talking about grieving and we're talking about letting go of your past. But this is really part of the cost, which is an idea of what you used to be able to do and what you can't do anymore and so on. We'll go into that a little bit later. But let's first of all look at the quality. We want quality materials to build a quality building. So let's look at them one at a time. Authenticity. Let's look at this first. It's a very important word, and it's one of the biggest materials we use to build recovery. This is about communication, direct and indirect. I urge you and encourage you to listen to that podcast and anything that is on the site about communication, because authenticity is about a general shift away from indirect communication to direct communication. Essentially, what authenticity means is to be really you. It's to be really you. So again, we can make a connection with the planning stage and the third session, which is this building your design? It connects up with authenticity. And now as a way of building a foundation, which is about abstinence and creating a solid clean time, we can now say that authenticity is about how you communicate with people. It's about how the new you, the recovered you, is now going to be more honest, more real, and able to be more vulnerable in your dealings and engagement and relationships with others. Honesty, telling the truth. This is the second one. Again, the quality of these components, these materials, is all about raising the barrier, raising the bar, as it were, on the standard. If the old you and the addicted you was allowed to be dishonest and deceitful all over the place, well, the new you isn't. If you want to build something substantial, then you have to be more honest. Now, people get this wrong. People, because of a lack of experience of honesty, frankly, a lot of them tend to think of this shift into sort of some kind of clinical honesty. I must be absolutely 100% honest with absolutely 100% of the people all the time. Of course, it doesn't mean that. And there's a very good reason why it doesn't mean that. It's just simply not wise to be 100% honest all the time. This might raise a few eyebrows, but when we look at this thing in a common sense way, of course we're not 100% honest 100% of the time. That's not wise, it's not sensible. We have to be realizing that there are actually principles above honesty. One of those principles is love. It's very simple. Love is higher than honesty. You know, if I'm being loving with someone, it doesn't mean I'm going to be totally honest with them all the time. And of course, you see now that of the four things, authenticity and honesty are included. So what that means is there's a difference. When we talk about honesty, you see, you can be completely authentic without being completely honest. Otherwise, they'd be the same thing, right? You see, if, let's say, for instance, I'm working with someone and say, I just can't talk to my partner, right? Okay. So we find a definite situation and we say, well, what was the problem? And they say, well, I couldn't be honest. I say, okay, but you can still be authentic. All right? So what I mean by that is, let's say, for instance, there's something you can't talk about. And you say, well, I'm not really being honest now because I'm not talking about it. You say, okay, how could you remain authentic in that moment? Well, you could take one step back and you could say, you know, I can't always talk to you about things. Do you see how that, it doesn't include the detail, but it is remaining completely authentic. And you have to find a way, even if it means taking two steps back to a more abstract or a more general level, you can still do it. And it's about trying to maintain and develop not only your honesty, but your authenticity in the way that you deal with people. So we go forward in a most truthful way. And we say the default position is always to be honest, unless there's a good reason not to be. So the next one is humility. And humility is all about knowing who you are and knowing who you aren't. The more you get into recovery, the more you will realize this. And the more you will realize that your projected self and your unrecovered self was projecting a very unrealistic image of who you were. I once had the privilege of listening to someone who had many years of experience in recovery. And it really stuck with me. And as you can see, it's still with me today, what he shared. Because what he said was quite shocking to me as in early recovery. Because what he said was, long-term recovery is really about accepting that you're not the man you thought you were. And I thought, oh my goodness, is it really? Yes, it is. It's about understanding that you have tried your best or felt the pressure or the need to project some kind of unrealistic self. And so you've been trying to get everyone else to understand that you're this person when actually you're not. And coming to terms with that is what we call humility. Humility is essentially spiritual truth. It's about knowing who you are and knowing who you aren't. Meditation on this and eventually practice on this is needed as a great material for building recovery. I want to look at assertiveness now as the fourth item. Assertiveness is all about letting people know how you feel, letting people know how something affects you. And it's always compared with aggressiveness, quite rightly, because aggressiveness is about telling someone to stop doing it. Not telling someone how it makes you feel, but simply saying, stop doing that. Now, if we look at a typical example, assertiveness would be, say, when somebody is upsetting you by the way that they're talking, what they say, you might say something like, you know, when you talk like that, it makes me feel very sad. Or when you talk like that, it makes me feel like there's not much future in this relationship. Now, what you're doing there is being assertive. What you're saying is, this is how I feel when you do that. But notice one important thing. It's not asking the other person to do anything. This is key in assertiveness. You're not saying to the other person, you know, you need to stop doing that. Or, you know, if you don't stop doing that, blah, blah, blah. That's where we, in a communication perspective, we would call that aggressive, okay? May not feel that aggressive, but that's how we would term it. Now, with assertiveness, you allow the other person the dignity of their own response. I want to assure you that when you are assertive with someone and then leave them to do with it what they want, that will have a big effect on them. In a lot of cases, it has more effect than if you started arguing with them or trying to bully them. Because when you start bullying them or being aggressive with them, that gives them the easy option of simply being aggressive back. and then they don't have to actually think about what you've said. But when you say, you know, when you talk like that, it makes me feel this way, and then you just walk away, you just leave them with that, then they are forced, in a sense, to think about what you've said. They can't really avoid it. And when you give them the dignity of having their own response, then often you'll get a better result. So that is assertiveness, and those are the four things that I would consider to be the materials of recovery. So you may come up with some more, but those are the four that I would suggest to you. And the better the quality of materials, the better the quality of the building. Okay, so we're now going to look at cost, because when we buy quality items, they cost more. And I think this is, a beautiful example of the richness of this metaphor, because you can buy cheap materials. So now we come to the cost. We know that quality ingredients, quality materials, they cost more. And so this is another example of the beautiful metaphor here and the richness of the metaphor of the building of recovery. When we start thinking about the idea of how much do we want to spend on these materials? The better materials we buy, the higher the cost. So if we apply that to our materials of authenticity, honesty, humility, and assertiveness, what you're saying is, I want you to buy the very best of those materials. In other words, I want you to practice and commit to the standards that you will employ as being as high as you possibly can. And this will ensure a phenomenal building of recovery. You'll actually be building a really firm foundation, and it will absolutely be fit for purpose for all of your life. We're looking at the long game here, aren't we? So if you think about those materials, you know, we always had something to do with them, didn't we? We were always working, in a sense, with them, but they just weren't, the standards weren't very high. So, for instance, in your unrecovered self, you know, you could get away with all kinds of things. We're looking at words like accountability, responsibility, reliability. You know, you didn't have to be where you said you'd be because your standards weren't that high. You didn't have to be held responsible for certain things because, you know, you were an addict and it didn't, you know, you couldn't really handle it. And of course, you were never accountable in a sense for what you did, except maybe sometimes if you know, maybe the courts got hold of you or something. But generally speaking, we wouldn't allow people to hold us accountable. Now, if we're being authentic and we're being honest and we've got some good humility, then we will not only be allowing ourselves to be held accountable, but we'll actually invite it. We'll actually say, I am now accountable to you in this context or that context. So we have to start asking ourselves, what is the cost that we're willing to pay for these materials? And I really want you to see the relationship between the quality of the materials and the quality of the recovery. If you don't buy decent materials, you are not going to build a decent house. So think about the idea of an engagement with your partner, your family, your work colleagues, your friends, and start thinking about how to build this foundation by putting in the very, very best quality materials that you can. And remember that when you think about reversing one of the biggest beliefs in the addicted self, the recovered self has this new belief. The new belief is that my difficulties are my greatest teachers. And again, I urge you to look at the podcast on that subject that I've done, which will really help you. You see, the belief that the addicted self has is I'm not supposed to feel any discomfort. I'm not supposed to go through any sort of difficulties. And of course, that links in with addiction. But the recovered self has develops this new belief, which says difficulties are my greatest teachers. So yes, to have different qualities of authenticity, honesty, humility, and assertiveness is going to lead you into difficulties because they're hard. They're hard to manage. They're hard to maintain. They're hard to develop. And remember, just ask yourself a simple question. Is it easier to sit on the couch and think about building a house, or is it harder to actually build a house? Well, this is obviously a very obvious answer, right? But that's the same thing with anything worth doing. Whatever it is, if you're taking the best decision, you're taking the tougher decision. And so expect it. Expect that's what it will be. It will bring resentment at times. It will bring adversity. But you now know that they are your greatest teachers. And so the way you relate to everyone changes. And if you don't put yourself in some kind of difficulty with this, then you'll never test your foundation. You'll never understand whether it can actually take this pressure or not. So I wish you all the best with that. And I'll see you at the next session of this foundation section.